Today we're reading Monday Lila, chapter 17. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. Texts 136. This is preceded by text 135, which has a purport, and it's followed by a verse that has a purport. Srila Prabhupada didn't write a purport on the verse that's on the board, but that's the verse we'll chant. So I'll read text 35 first. Krishna Nam, Krishna Guna, Krishna Lila Vrinda. Krishnera Svarupa Sama Sabha Chidananda. The holy name of Krishna, his transcendental qualities and pastimes, and Krishna himself are all equal. They're all spiritual and full of bliss. So, Nam, Guna, Lila, Nam, the name of Krishna, the qualities, transcendental qualities of Krishna and his transcendental pastimes, plus his swarup, his personality, Krishna himself, they're all equal, all spiritual and full of bliss. So this is a time of year when we appreciate this. We get into celebrating the Julan Yantra first. That starts on Ekadasi, and then Balaram's appearance day comes up soon. And then Janmashtami, then Radhashtami. So there's many special appearance days this time of year. Also today, Srila Rupa Goswami's appearance day. Disappearance, sorry. Yes. I just read something that I was reading this week, written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on the appearance of Balaram and Krishna. As you know, Vasudeva and Devaki were in prison, and the seventh pregnancy of Devaki was transferred to the womb of Rohini. So that was Balaram. Jaya Sisriyara Gopina, Jagannath Baladev. Then later, Krishna appeared. Rohini was already in her seventh month of pregnancy when his transfer took place. And she appeared to have a miscarriage. And then Yogamaya came with Balaram and said, "Now I'll replace the baby that was in your womb with this Sankarshan Balaram." And then a bit later, Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki. So Balaram preceded Krishna by about a year, it seems. He would have been delivered not long after this transfer to the womb of Rohini. then when Krishna is born, there's a birthday celebration or a birth celebration. So there's one verse here which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on. The verse is about Rohini, the mother of Balaram. She was honored at this celebration of Krishna's birth. She was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So she was dressed gorgeously and decorated with a garland and a necklace and ornaments, although her husband was not there. Normally a lady doesn't ornament herself when her husband is absent, but she did for this celebration. And she was receiving the guests and the ladies. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that she was the most fortunate. The verse mentions the word Mahabhag, most fortunate. She was addressed as the most fortunate because all of Vasudeva's wives, he had, I forget how many wives, but of all of them, she alone had the opportunity to see Krishna's childhood pastimes. Even Devaki didn't see Krishna's childhood pastimes. She was in the prison. So she didn't get to go with Krishna to Gokul. So Nanda was praising Rohini, saying in a very nice way, complimenting her in a very, very nice way. He said to Rohini, because of your coming here to where I'm living, my child was born. So he gave credit to Rohini for somehow the arrangement of providence by which Nanda and Yashoda could give birth to Krishna. And because Rohini was so absorbed in the bliss of Krishna's birth, she forgot about her separation from her husband and her sorrow over her husband being in prison. So normally we forget about that too. We celebrate Janmashtami, but we don't think about poor Rohini's husband in prison. But, we can remember these things. At this time of year, there's a lot of nectar to read about at this time, reading about Janmashtami. All these things are full of bliss, it says in this verse. The holy name, the transcendental qualities, the pastimes, and Krishna himself are all equal, spiritual and full of bliss. Okay, the next verse. Atashi Krishna Nam Adi. Please chant.
Atashi Krishna Nam Adi.
Nabhavet Grayam.
Krishna Namadi, Krishna Namadi, Namavetranyam Indriyahe, Namavetranyam Indriyahe,
ladies. Krishna's form and quality are all on the absolute platform. Because Krishna's name and form and quality are all on the absolute platform. Just as we said a minute ago, the previous verse says the same thing. Now Krishna Das Kaviraj is quoting this verse to back up what he just wrote. The holy name of Krishna, his qualities and pastimes, and Krishna are all on the same platform of bliss. They're all equal and spiritual. So that's the meaning of this word, Atha, Sri Krishna Namadi. Sri Krishna's name and qualities, form, pastimes, Sri Krishna Namadi. Can be perceived indriyani by the blunt material senses. To one engaged in service. He certainly jivado. Beginning with the tongue. Swayam. Personally. Eva. Certainly. Spuratya. Becomes manifest. Those. Again, Krishna's name, form, quality, and so on. Yes. The translation, therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Purport, the verses from Bhaktivinoda Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. Once in Dallas, in the garden, in the evening, it was very hot. The devotees were sitting in the garden with Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees had their shirts off. I was not wearing a shirt. It was so hot in Dallas. We were just visiting. Srila Prabhupada had come for a visit, and we were visiting in 1975, summer of 1975. And Prabhupada said, if you can control your tongue, you can control all your other senses. So this is an important instruction. Because in Rupa Goswami writes in the beginning of the Nectar of Instruction about how important it is to control the senses, beginning with the urge to speak. And then he mentions other senses, vajra-vega, manasa, krodha-vega, anger, the mind, and so on. So all this control over the senses and mind begins with the tongue. Prabhupada said, if you can control the tongue, all your other senses can be brought under control. And that's what this verse is about. Sevan mukhe jivado. One's devotional service starts with the tongue. Prabhupada would preach like this to people who asked him, you know, what's Krishna consciousness about? They didn't know much. He would just say, it begins with the tongue. So somebody might not know spiritual life has to do with the tongue. So Prabhupada was very clear about it, straightforward. Recently I listened to a tape about japa. Ravindra Swarup was speaking at a japa retreat in America, and he said that once he went to a convent and he spoke to nuns about spiritual life. And when he said this point, that spiritual life begins with the tongue, he said all the nuns laughed. Because they all understood what he was talking about. Because in the convent, if you talk prajalpa, if you talk gossipa, and you talk about the other ladies, what they're doing, and you don't use your tongue to pray to God in the convent, then, you know, things don't remain on the spiritual platform. So he said the nuns understood the point. So if you chant the Lord's names, talk about Krishna, and taste prasadam, your tongue is purified, and you gradually come to understand who Krishna really is. So this is the way to do it. Of course, reading is included in this. Sometimes Prabhupada said that reading is his chanting. In another way, it's sort of silent chanting. You're reading what someone else has chanted. Srila Prabhupada's books are the words that he chanted, the words that Shukadev chanted, so many previous chanters, and we read those. So by hearing, we're also engaged in this business of understanding Krishna. Because this is a verse by Rupa Goswami at Tashi Krishna Namadi, or it's recorded, I should say, in Bhakti Goswami Sangrado. I'm not sure if he wrote it. I would have to look it up to see if he wrote it. But it gives us a platform on which to talk a bit about Rupa Goswami. This is his disappearance anniversary. Usually these occasions of disappearances are used to recount the life of the person and his accomplishments. He disappeared in the year 1558. Let's see, that's how long ago. This is 2009. So 450 some years ago. Now in his disappearance, he returned back to Godhead. He returned to the spiritual pastimes he was enacting before he came to this world. He was described in Gorganadesh Deepika. He was the gopi Rupa Manjari in Krishna Lila. And she is the chief assistant of Sri Lalita. So we're situated like this in relationship to Krishna and Radha Krishna. Lalita is one of the main gopis, and Rupa Manjari is her main assistant. She appeared as Rupa Goswami along with Lord Chaitanya to establish the teachings of Krishna consciousness. So, Lord Chaitanya first met Rupa Goswami and his brother, two brothers actually, Sanatan and another brother, in a place called Ramakeli in India. The three of them were devotees. They had come from a Brahmin's family. And these three became practicing Vaishnava devotees. And they moved to Ramakeli because of their work. They were working for the Shah, the king of Bengal, who was a Muslim. And when Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan from Puri, he went to Ramakeli, and people didn't understand why. Why is he going there? He was traveling with a big group. There were thousands of Hindu people traveling with the Lord. And they couldn't quite understand why. Ramakeli, why not go another way to Vrindavan? But his purpose was to meet Rupa and Sanatana, who had written, I think they had written one letter to the Lord. They had heard about Lord Chaitanya and written one letter. And when the king, the Shah, the Muslim king, heard about Lord Chaitanya coming into his area where he was the king with thousands of Hindus, he thought, oh, maybe this is some activist, some politician who's coming to create trouble. So he spoke to Rupa Goswami about it, but Rupa Goswami told him to cool it. He said, this is no ordinary politician who's coming. He described nicely the qualities of Lord Chaitanya and pacified that king, Hussein Shah. And then Rupa and Sanatana met the Lord, and they got the names at that time, Rupa and Sanatana. The Muslim king had given them some other names. They were very, very humble when they met the Lord because they were working for this Muslim king. And they were from a Brahmin's family. So they considered themselves terribly fallen. And they said, I'll read you what they said to Lord Chaitanya. We are millions of times more degraded, fallen and sinful than Jagai and Madhai. We have taken a wicked birth because we have become the servants of Muslims. And our activities are exactly like those of the Muslims. We constantly associate with people who are inimical toward the cows and the Brahmins. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Stand up, please.
Either
move here or stand up. Don't stay there, please. I insist.
I'm listening.
Okay. So the Muslims against cows and Brahmins. Because of our abominable activities, we are now bound by the neck and hands. And have been thrown into a ditch filled with the excrement of evil sense enjoyment. So this is really a humble statement, really expressing difficulty. So when the Lord heard the extreme humility of Rupa and Sanatana, he became compassionate, and he said to them, by saying this he shows that they're not ordinary conditioned souls but his eternal associates. He said to them, I really had no need to come to Bengal, but I came anyway just to see the two of you. No one knows my purpose, and so people ask me why I have come to this village of Ramakeli. I'm very glad that you have come to see me. Now you can go home. Do not fear anything. You have been my servants life after life, So Krishna will deliver you very soon. And he placed his hands on their heads, and they took the Lord's lotus feet and placed them on their heads. Really, really a nice pastime. Nowadays in yoga schools in America, probably also in Europe, in the classes, the students sometimes do partner yoga, what they call partner yoga. I think Atmananda, when he was here also, he was getting devotees together to do partner yoga, because you touch the other person in the yoga class, not in a sensual way, but in a kind of, you know, mood of accepting and being open. It's meant to make you feel something. So here we have a nice example of Rupa and Sanatana with their heads. They bowed their heads to the Lord's feet. The Lord touched their heads. They touched the Lord's feet with their hands, and touched his feet to their heads. So that's very nice partner yoga. So the Lord said, okay, very soon Krishna will free you from these bonds. So it happened. It happened in this way very soon. A spirit of renunciation was awakened in Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And they decided, why are we working for this king? Let's get out of this position. So Rupa retired. And he arranged his finances and he arranged to go home for a while. He went to his family's home and spent some months there getting out of his entanglements. But Sanatana ended up in prison because he was telling the king he was sick, he couldn't go to work. The king sent a doctor. The doctor saw that Sanatana was normal. What was he doing? He was spending his time reading the Bhagavatam with the Brahmins. So the king said, you're not acting properly, you're supposed to work. So he put him in prison, very severe reaction to Sanatana's behavior. And then Rupa, meanwhile, went to Prayag because he heard that the Lord was again on a trip to Vrindavan. The first trip to Vrindavan was aborted because Sanatana told the Lord, you can't go to Vrindavan with thousands of people following you. This is not the way to go on pilgrimage. So the Lord said, okay, I'll stop. And he went back to Puri. Then he tried again. And this time, Rupa heard that he was going again and he met him in Prayag. Prayag is a place famous for the Kumbh Mela. That's where millions of Hindus go at a certain time every 6 years or 12 years. The Allahabad it's called. The Muslim name is Allahabad. And the rivers, the three sacred rivers join there, the confluence of the rivers. And if you bathe there, then you get so many assets, spiritual assets. Anyway, there, Lord Chaitanya met Rupa, and this time he kept a low profile. He didn't want to attract big crowds. So he went to a secluded place. I believe it's called Dashavamedha Ghat. And he just met Rupa Goswami next to the river. And he told him, the first thing he told him, yes, by Krishna's mercy, you become free from these material bonds. You're no longer working for the Muslim king. Now you are empowered, practically speaking. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse about this. Chaitanya is described, he instructed Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. Prabhupada's purport, the Supreme Lord has multi-potencies. Parasya Shakti Vivitaya Shurite. And he bestows these potencies on his fortunate devotees. The Lord has a special potency by which he spreads the Krishna consciousness movement. This is also explained in the Antilila, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tare Pravartana. One cannot spread the holy name of Krishna without being empowered by Lord Krishna. So a devotee who receives this power must be considered very fortunate. So the last thing I'm going to tell you about Rupa is just a pastime about the Govindaji deity. In Vrindavan, Rupa was supposed to carry out four instructions that Mahaprabhu gave him. One was to find holy places in Vrindavan, places where Krishna had enacted specific leelas. He was supposed to publish scriptures on pure devotional service. He was supposed to, number three, preach the love of the holy name. And number four, he was to establish the service of a deity. So, at some point, Rupa did the first three. He accomplished the first three, but he hadn't accomplished the establishing the deity. So he was wandering through Vrindavan, kind of looking for a place, where can I establish a deity, a temple? But there weren't any fruits to his search. One day he was sitting by the Jamuna, and a divine personality took the form of a Brajbasi and came up to him and said, what are you sitting here thinking about? And Rupa said, I'm in distress. I wanted to establish a temple, and you know, he just explained to this divine personality what the problem was. So the man consoled Rupa, saying, there's no cause for worry. You will find a deity on a hill named Goma Tila. Every morning a cow goes there and joyfully gives milk to this deity who is under the ground. And then the Brajbasi disappeared from Rupa's sight. And Rupa Goswami thought, Krishna has come to me and spoken to me. And he fainted. And then when he came back to consciousness, he proceeded to the place indicated, Goma Tila, and he asked the residents of the village to help him dig there until they found a deity. And they found Govindaji, more beautiful than a million cupids. It's said that this Govinda deity was originally worshipped by Krishna's own grandson, Vrajanava. Vrajanava established some deities in the Vrindavan area in honor of his grandfather. So at first, Govindaji was served in a simple thatched hut, nothing special, architecturally. But eventually, a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta built a beautiful temple to house the Lord. This is all from the Bhakti Ratnakar. Then later, in 1590, just about 410, 420 years ago, Man Singh, who was the king of the city called Amber, Man Singh. He came to Vrindavan and he repaired the temple that was there and put additions on it. And then it became an exquisite temple. It was 7 stories high, very, very high. And it was an unrivaled architectural building at that time. There was no religious building like that in India, according to some of the historians. Of course, it was later the object of envy of Aurangzeb, another Muslim who was envious of idol worship. He lived in Agra, not so far from Vrindavan. And from Agra, at night, he could see a light burning on the top of the tower of the Govindaji temple. 7 stories high, very high stories. If you go there now, you see it's still the kind of sandstone that the temple was built from, a red sandstone, very pretty. And the deities, of course, Aurangzeb came to smash the temple. He removed some of the stories. And the devotees took Govindaji to Jaipur so that he would not be desecrated. And he's very beautifully established in Jaipur. The king of Jaipur has the temple on his property. And just this morning I happened to open some of my pictures on my computer. And there was this folder called Jaipur. About a year ago, Bhakti Chiruswami was in Jaipur and there were some photos posted to his website. And I copied some of them and I happened to copy a couple of pictures of Govindaji, Radha Govindaji. So I saw these pictures this morning. Screen. Also, one last detail. The Queen of Jaipur, gave Srila Prabhupada large deities of Radha Govinda to worship, and he put them in his New York City temple. Radha Govindaji in New York City, given, donated by the Queen of Jaipur. So if you travel to America, don't miss Radha Govinda in New York. Any comments or questions?
This poem, you spoke about these 4 instructions that Bhakti gave to Swami. So would you mind repeating all statements?
Yeah, they're in Bhakti. Bhakti Ratnakar has that information, I think. Yeah, that's where I took this. This book says Bhakti Ratnakar when it describes those. Yes, those 4. He's supposed to find the holy places in Vrindavan and publish books about pure devotional service. Preach love of the holy name and establish deity.
Establish
deity. Establish deity. Any other questions? Right. Does it make sense that Sanatana Goswami very humbly presents himself to Lord Chaitanya, but then a few minutes later says to him, excuse me, but you shouldn't take so many people with you to Vrindavan. Is he taking a puffed up position? No, I don't think so. I think we take it as Leela. He was from a Brahmin's family, and he was a learned Vaishnava. He was studying with the Brahmins, so he may have, had some insight into the matter. And somehow the exchange took place. There wasn't so much explanation at this point. But you're probably not the first devotee who's noticed it. But there doesn't seem to be, at least in what I read, there wasn't any commentary on it. Maybe in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's some commentary on that. It's a good, strong image. He said we're bound by the hands and neck and fallen in the ditch of excrement, of evil sense enjoyment. Uses his devotees to teach things that, like Ramananda Roy, Tata Lord, also Rupa Goswami, in his writings, when he would, or in conversations, he would say things that he would, Jadarani is saying, that Rupa noticed that what he was writing or saying was actually produced by the Lord. The Lord was using him as an instrument to teach certain conclusions. Thank you, Mother Helen.
I was curious what the Brahmin mind is about. Because he must be something, his personality to get more attention.
The other brother? Anupam. Yeah, he's described a bit. Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books describe him a bit. But he died quite soon. He died. Just as all this was getting going, he didn't apparently live the normal duration of life, and so he didn't get too involved. All right, thank you. We'll stop there. Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada.